Welcome to Technically Speaking, the official podcast of the United States Institute for Theater Technology. Here we'll discuss the stories and work of our members, as well as industry topics and happenings. I'm your host, Jen, USITT's content specialist, and for our first episode, I am joined by guest Sarah Lozoff. Sarah is a certified intimacy director, movement director, choreographer, gyrotonic trainer, ballet instructor, and the education coordinator for the Intimacy Directors International. She holds the distinct honor of being the first intimacy director for the nationally renowned Oregon Shakespeare Festival. In episode one, we discuss the origins of intimacy direction, its most common misconceptions, and the importance it holds in the industry. Explain to me your kind of elevator speech definition of what an intimacy director is.
So an intimacy director is someone who crafts and choreographs scenes of heightened intimacy, theatrical intimacy, especially where there is physical intimacy with kissing, nudity, simulated sex, or simulated sexual violence or assault, as well as an advocate and consent practitioner for the artist working on the project.
Great. And how did you get your start in the field?
So about 2 years ago, I came across a New York Times article that was written about a woman named Tonya Sina. And Tonya has since become a friend and a colleague, but is one of my mentors. She's the executive director of Intimacy Directors International. And actually the creator of the Intimacy for the Stage method. So I came across this New York Times article and immediately thought, A, I think I found what I want to do, and B, I think I've been doing it without a codified vernacular or vocabulary, without pedagogy, and certainly without a network of colleagues and support that I could call upon or rely upon in any way. So I started reading everything I could find from something that had been published in a fight director's journal to that New York Times article, looking up organizations. And I found two organizations. One was TIE, Theatrical Intimacy Education, and the other was Intimacy Directors International, or IDI. And I looked at their trainings and what they were doing and decided to go with the IDI training. They were just developing their first pedagogy intensive, which was 9 days of pretty intensive work around the subject. At the University of Illinois in Urbana. I was lucky enough to be accepted into that first cohort. So I went and did that last summer, and since then have stayed in close contact with the company, was invited to join their apprenticeship program when they first created it, have gotten fantastic mentorship and guidance from leadership of that company, of the organization, and I'm now on part-time staff with them as their education coordinator, so I help to facilitate workshops. I recently gained certification through them, so it's been a somewhat quick path, somewhat organic, but certainly with hard work and research involved on all of our fronts. It's so new for so many people, even though Tonya wrote her thesis on this 15 years ago, and there are other practitioners who have been doing this work for a decade plus who are not affiliated with IDI. I don't want to erase them, but it became more known and more seen pretty recently, and so we're all trying to make sure that as a somewhat new field, we're doing it right, we're representing the field right, we're getting credited appropriately. So it's sort of ever changing at the moment in a number of ways. So that's what I mean by we're all doing hard work and research right now and continuing to do it.
And why do you think that it took so long for intimacy direction to become popularized in the industry?
We have not valued the mental and emotional health of artists, frankly. I mean, has society at large really valued mental and emotional health, like, in general before this generation? I don't know. So, I don't think that it's just exclusive to the arts. I think that we now know phrases like emotional intelligence. That's become more common. I don't think that we valued the mental and emotional health of artists. I think abuses of power were more widely accepted than they are now. So what actually happened in order for intimacy direction to become a more known quantity was the Me Too movement. That's what made this take off. So Alicia Rodas and Tonya and Siobhan Richardson and Claire Warden and Adam Noble, and there were a number of artists who were doing this work before that. Trying to convince people that it was really valuable and actually creates better art. But there's such a thought pattern of, well, this is the way I did it, and so I'm fine, and they'll be fine. And we don't do that in other arenas quite as much as we've done it here. We develop best practice by saying, oh, I did do it that way, and actually, I don't think that's what's best anymore. Now we know better. When we know better, we do better. Me Too happened. Theater, as you may or may not know, had its own versions of those, particularly out of Chicago theater houses, hashtag Time's Up and Not in Our House. The time that we're in right now is different in that, A, we are not quietly going along with things that we used to go along with. And we have social media. Right. So we're really calling things out in a different way and, you know, looking under the rugs for what's been swept under there for decades. Mm-hmm. And saying this isn't okay anymore. And we do value an artist's mental and emotional health. So, you know, I think that it was a number of things, and it's unfortunate that that this really came out of some gross abuses happening, and people saying, we can do better than this, I want to do better than this, and we can create better storytelling.
And have you found any common misconceptions when it comes to the need for intimacy directors on set?
So many. First and foremost, and I got this just last night too, so you're like a sex coach? Yeah, I'm not a sex coach. It's one of the reasons that I don't like to be credited with the word coach, because it does sound more like that intimacy coach. So I'm not a sex coach. I'm not a sex therapist or a relationship therapist or anything like that. It is all theatrical and simulated and very fake. Another misconception is that it will be stifling, that it will be policing in some way to our artists and to our rooms and to the art that we're trying to create. And I think that the opposite is true. I understand the fear. But what I've seen in action is that when artists feel safe, they tend to explore further. I mean, that's true for humans, I think, in general. If you drop me into the middle of the ocean and say, try to touch the bottom, I don't know how deep it is. I mean, maybe. I don't know. You've given me literally no boundary. If you drop me into the middle of a huge pool, but you tell me, hey, this is what this pool is shaped like, and you can't see it from here, but there's a lagoon on that side, and there's a waterfall on that side, and it's pretty deep, but at the deepest, it's 9 feet. I will likely try to find the lagoon, try to find the waterfall, and try to get to the bottom of the pool. Right? I can explore all of those edges. So in this work, we talk about exactly that, building containers for artists to explore. Because once you build that container, they'll go to the edges of it. And those edges can be malleable during a rehearsal process. It can get wider. It can get more expansive. The shape of it can change. But if we just give no boundaries, we actually tend to explore less. We're going to be a little more cautious about how deep we're going. So it's a, you know, that's a really common misconception that it'll be stifling. And actually this work can be both safer and sexier, much like fights, right? We don't fear that with fight choreography. The more choreographed it is, the more fake it's going to look. We say, no, let's choreograph this because we want it to be the best it can be, not just, I don't know, have a sword fight. I trust you to figure that out. Right? And I think the third misconception, which goes along with it being stifling, is that there's a misconception that we will undermine a director's authority or take something over from the director. And again, with a choreographer, for a dance choreographer or a fight director choreographer, we understand that these are just specialties. And that's what I really want to get across to directors. I don't want their job. This is just a specialized aspect. I can help to craft these scenes and pull them apart a little bit more, as well as create protocols for what happens in tech and how run crew gets involved and how we take care of all of the artists in the room. And I don't expect a director to be looking at that. They're already looking at lights and projections and everything else. I mean, they have a huge job. And I always aim to be in deep collaboration with the director. They're still captaining this ship. So, you know, part of my job is to make sure that I'm in collaboration and dialogue with them. It's their vision.
Thank you for listening to Technically Speaking. Stay tuned for more on the world of intimacy direction with Sarah Loza on episode 2, coming soon.